Wonderful. Good to see so many different faces this morning. We have called this morning Soft Launch Sunday, and I was thinking through this a while ago. I was like, it's a rubbish name. anyway, but that's the name we've given it today. And as we've mentioned before, for us as Grace Church, if you are somebody just coming to Grace Church for the first time and you're visiting and you're watching someone being baptized, what the heck do we mean by a soft launch Sunday? And so this is, for us as a church, it's a big deal today. So I hope we've sort of made that clear. But it's a big deal for us because we're going to be, this is like the first step this morning of going from being a multi-site church, so having one church in three locations, to that, to us becoming an independent church on our own in Bognor. And so we're going to be starting, as we mean to go on, we're going to be celebrating salvation and we're going to be eating. That's what we're going to be doing today. And as Isla said, if you've forgotten stuff, don't worry. Tesco Express is just around the corner. Go head there, get your Tesco Express, and whilst you're there, get me something. That'll be great because I left my food in the fridge, so I'm going to be going back to get that. So get something for someone else while you're there. And so as we talk about soft launch, we begin to see, we're going to, for the next couple of weeks or so, and over the next couple of months as well, we're going to see some changes internally to how we function, what we do here as a church. And I'm going to probably touch on some of those this morning. So if you are a visitor, you get to hear all the wonderful news of what's going on in our church, and I hope that blesses you. But we're also in post-summer, we're going to be then doing something we called a hard launch, which is going to be, again, maybe needs a better name, but we're going to be telling the town who we are, that we're here, that we're new. There's something new happening here. Come and see what God's doing, and encouraging people along to that. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Let's start with this morning. I've titled this morning New Steps. I've titled up the preach this morning New Steps, and I want us all to know, whoever we are, often we are taking new steps. We are all taking new steps. But particularly for us as a church at the moment, we are taking new steps into something different. And so I want us to turn to Joshua 4. We're going to be in Joshua 4 today. And we join the story. We're going to join the story as Joshua is now leading the people of God. He's leading Israel. Moses has been and gone. So that whole, the Exodus stuff, that's all happened. And they're beginning to take some new steps. They're beginning to take some new steps into the promised land that God promised them 40 years ago. They're now going to be stepping into the good of. And so we're going to join it in verse 1. And this is a moment in verse 1 where the leaders of the church, the leaders of Israel, sorry, not leaders of the church, leaders of Israel, they're holding a box. And this box contains the presence of God. And they're standing in the middle of a river. And the river has completely dried up, and so they can walk across because the presence of God is there. And so we join the story as the rest of the people are walking through on dry ground. And so let's join it in verse 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones. Notice these stones, right? These are mentioned like 8 times through this passage. They're a big deal. So take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, right where the presence of God was, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder." So these are not light stones. "According to the number of tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign to you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord," the box with God's presence in. "When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of Israel, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. We're going to jump down to verse 19. On the 10th day of the month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. So they're just about to take the land. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. So he's now setting them up. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask your parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over.'" Stop there for a moment. So this morning, I want us to pick out three key points that this story is talking about. And I feel this morning a prophetic prompting a little bit. I feel that God wants to remind us as a church of what he is doing. Reminding us of the steps, that as we take some new steps as a church this morning, that God wants to remind us of three things. And the first thing I feel that God wants to remind us is that we may be taking new steps, but we are still using the same stones. We're using the same old stones all around us, wherever we go, whatever town you go to, whatever city you go to, you'll see memorials. Memorials are all over the place. You see them. You see war memorials to remember battles. You see memorials, statues of sports stars outside sports stadiums. You've got benches with people's plaques, with people's names on them. You get the big lists of names on the D-Day landings and on the beaches. There's memorials everywhere, and we see them all the time. And that is what these stones are. These stones that we see in Joshua 4, they are to remember this event that's happened, this moment they've walked through on dry ground, and probably because they're going to forget it, right? They've already forgotten that they went through the Red Sea. So this is a moment to remind them again of that event. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. "When your children ask," interesting that the children ask the question and not the adults. "When your children ask, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Right, what do these stones mean? They were a reminder to the people of Israel. They were a reminder of not just an event, but the character of God. They were a reminder of an event which demonstrated the faithfulness and the faithful heart of God. The Israelites, they would have walked past these stones. They had to carry them on shoulders. These are big stones, and there's 12 of them. So just imagine this. I was thinking, should I bring some like massive stones along? And I thought, no, not going to work. But they've got these massive stones, and they're in this big old pile. I don't know how they organized them. They might have put them into a triangle, or did they like try and stand them on top? I don't know how they did it. But there's this memorial. They would have seen it every time they walk past. And it's like, oh yeah, God's faithful. It's something they walk past, and they were reminded. These stones were a reminder every time they walked past that God was faithful. He was faithful yesterday with Moses. He was faithful with Joshua, and he's going to be faithful going into the future. And we may be taking new steps today, but the stones we are building on and the stones we're building with and the God we are following is the same. It may be new steps, but they're still the same stones. God is still faithful. Joshua expected the Israelite children, the descendants, to ask, "What do these stones mean?" And some of you this morning, it might be your first time ever to Grace Church, and you might be local and you're thinking, what's this church all about? And you might be asking, well, what did being part of Grace Church mean? The answer is the same. The answer is still to remind us that God is faithful. Right, how has God been faithful so far in Grace Church? Well, he was faithful in 2006 We started Grace Church in 2006 in Oving Hall, small group of people, a very small gathering of people in Oving Hall, and now we're a multi-site church of over 400 people. God has been faithful. Right, God was faithful when we got our first rental building in 2008. God was faithful when we became multi-site in 2013. God was faithful when we set up Midhurst in 2015 and when we closed Midhurst in 2020. God was faithful when we sent out Haven in 2018. God was faithful when there were changes in leadership in 2017 and 2021. God was faithful when we brought the Grace Center in 2018 and it kept going off the market. Right? The stones we are building on are still the same stones of a reminder that God is faithful. He's been faithful before, he's faithful now, and he'll be faithful into the future. Just as Joshua didn't want Israel to forget, we must not forget our history. We must not forget where we've come from, the stones that we have carried with us to where we're going. Our God is faithful. They are our stones. But there's more to these stones than just a reminder. There's more to them than just being a reminder of God's faithfulness. They point to something deeper, actually. They point to a mission. So we might be taking new steps, but it is the same mission. Look at me. In verse 23 and 24, the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea. So it's the same stones. This event that's happened, it's really quite similar to the event that's happened before when he dried it up before us and until we had crossed over. And then verse 24, why did all this happen? Why? Well, it's the same mission. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. If the story of Joshua, this story of him crossing over the Jordan sounds familiar, it's because it is, right? There's this story of Moses. Moses takes the Israelites with him and they cross through the Red Sea. They're both walking through torrents of water and it describes it very similarly how they walked through. And they both experience passing through pools of water, but the purpose of both those crossings was the same. So it was the same stones, but it was also the same mission. In verse 24, we read, he did it so that the people would know the Lord. Exodus 14, after they've crossed through the Red Sea, says, so they shall know that I am the Lord. The mission of God's people thousands of years ago was to have his name known to all that they met, all that they saw, all who they engaged with. That was God's mission thousands of years ago, and it was the mission of Grace Church in 2006, and it's going to be the mission of God's church for us as we adventure in 2025. Moses' mission, Joshua's mission, Grace Church's mission, an independent church's mission, the worldwide church's mission, our personal life mission is that God's name will be known. That's the purpose, that God's people will show and share who he is and what he is like. And that's a challenge for us this morning. How much, if you're a Christian in this room, you might not be a Christian, but if you're a Christian in this room, how much do you show and share Christ where God has placed you through his church, through his people? But although the mission is always the same, the mission is always that God will be known, there were differences. All right, there might be, but there are some, but with some differences. Right, for example, they walked through different pools of water. They were different leaders. The size of the task was different. They previously in Numbers 13, Moses was trying to lead them through the Red Sea, but the Israelites were disobedient. And yet, with Joshua, they were obedient. They followed and they did God's command. It is inevitable that even though the mission is and the stones are the same, how it is executed will look a little bit different. Here's some things that might look a little bit different for Grace Church in the coming months, weeks, and years. I did that in the wrong order, didn't I? Weeks, months, and years. So here's a few. One of them will be, it's a new charity. Right? We're going to become a new independent charity. We're going to have a different bank account. All of those legal boring things that I have absolutely no idea what's happening. Right, those things will change. just because they need to, because it just makes sense. And as part of that, we're going to be needing new trustees. We've got some new trustees coming into place. So trustees of Grace Church have been amazing, but we need ones from Bognor. We need people who live in Bognor. We need people who live locally, who are part of this church. And so Luke Groves, he's been a chair, he's been a trustee in Grace Church for how many years? I don't know. Ages, years. So he's been a trustee. He's going to be chair of trustees for us in Bognor. We've got Jose, we've got Gina, we've got Andy, and I bring nothing to the table, but I'm going to be a trustee as well. But we got some, praise the Lord for the other gifted people. But we're going to have some new trustees. We're going to have to change our church vision. Right, at the moment, we have a vision as a multi-site church. That doesn't apply to what we're doing. It's irrelevant to what we're going to be doing as a church. So the vision will need to change. We're going to need, currently we have 6 elders over our church. We're going to be going down to 2. We're going to need to raise up more elders. We're going to need more oversight. We're going to need more ministry leaders. We're going to need more leaders. Another thing, the diary. The diary will have to change. We can't keep traveling to Chichester. Right? We travel to Chichester a lot to meet together as a whole church. We can't be doing that so much. And so over the coming term, the diary is going to change. If you are somebody who really loves looking at diaries, you'll notice that the diary in Bognor is going to be very, very light. It's going to be very light. There's not going to be loads of things chucked in there that are happening. It's going to be a quieter season for 2 reasons. Number one, because we want to create more time for people to be able to connect with their Grace group. If you're not in a Grace group, come and chat to me and make sure I put you in a Grace group, or Simo or Kim or Mel or whoever. Come and chat to us and let's get you into a group. So we want to create that time. So you're not just meeting at your Grace group on your Thursday evening or your Wednesday evening, but you can meet at another point in the week because you don't have to worry about tons of other church stuff happening. So the church diary will change in that way. But also the things that we have got in the diary, the big stones, pun not intended, that we're going to have in the diary, is going to be for us to have times where we worship and we pray and we seek God together. And there are going to be times where we're just going to be so loving God. Get to those events. Be there. If you're somebody who calls Grace Church home, be at those events because you're going to be blessed. So the diary will change. But another thing that might change, and this is one of the big shifts, particularly for us today, is going to be a name change. There will be. I love the name Grace Church. It's a great name. The grace of God is who we are. It's what church is all about. And as we think about a name change, it isn't like, oh, we'll forget grace then. And we're not forgetting the grace of God. And so it is a great name, but it's not a reason to keep it. It's not just because, oh, I really like the name, it's the reason we keep it. Also, we're not keeping the name because we think, oh, people know the name of Grace Church in the town of Bognor. For a side note, I think they probably relate it more to the Grace Centre in Chichester, actually, out of just thinking through it. But very quickly, I think it will cause confusion. Like if somebody who didn't know anything about Grace Church or anything about us as a church, and they're looking up online to come to church, and they see, oh, there's Grace Church in Bognor, but there's also a Grace Church in Chichester and Havant, but that's not linked to that one. But they've got the same logo, and they've got the same. I'm just really. It's quite confusing for somebody to do that. And so it will need to change. And secondly, Simo and I, we feel that God has spoken into a name, actually, in particular. And about 5 years ago, I was in a meeting. I didn't want to be in that meeting. you'll hear my faith come through, like how faithful I am here. I didn't want to be in that meeting. I thought that the meeting was kind of irrelevant to me. I was above the meeting. But in that moment, I just sensed more tangibly than I have ever sensed before, God just whisper a name for our church in that moment. And I didn't. And here's my faith. I shelved it. I didn't, I didn't do anything with it. I didn't even tell Kim really at that point. I just ignored it. I didn't think it was God at all. And however, years later, when Bognor began stirring in our hearts again, just God dropped it instantly into my brain again. And I chatted with Simo and Kim and Mel, and we just sensed that God was just breathing on this name. And it felt that the name was confirmed. Guy Barton brought a prophetic word to us, to Simo and I, when we announced that the change was coming. And I shared this actually in a preach a few weeks ago, but it was a picture of a fire, and that Bognor was being refined to be holy. And as part of that, he saw metals being heated up. And as they were being heated up, they were overflowing. And these precious metals, these golds and these silvers, they were filling the cracks of the paving in Bognor, and they were filling the people and the brokenness. And he used a phrase similar to this, which I feel was a tagline that God put on my heart, of broken things made beautiful in Christ. And this is not about whether it's... So this name is not about whether we like the sound of it, whether it sounds good, whether we like it. I just feel that this name is to be a prophetic picture of who we are as we take new steps on the same mission. So what are we going to be called? You're all like, oh, all right, fine. So we are still to be a church of grace. Like, that's not going anywhere. But we look to be an assortment of Jesus followers who live holy lives for Jesus as Bognor Mosaic Church. And I'll let you just digest that for a moment. And so Tom Maidman, who's part of us, he's going to be, he's just working on some funky logo stuff. He's very good at those types of things. So if you want to see the logo, you're going to have to come to the vision night. There you go. Now you're like, ooh, now I want to go. So you might be now thinking, so are we called Mosaic Church? Or are we called Grace Church? Which one do I call it for the time being? Is this a soft launch? What do I call this church? For now, it's okay to use Eva. All right, this isn't. We don't talk about Grace Church. No, it's not that. All right, it's not that. It's okay. It's not a dirty word to say, oh, Grace Church. Like, if you're talking to somebody and you're inviting them to church, you can go, oh, hi there. Would you like to come to my church? It's called Grace Church, but we'll be changing the name after the summer to Mosaic Church. Like, you can say that. It's quite an easy spiel, quite simple. You can use both. So for the time being, we are still going to be Grace Church. Like, all the banners, all the stuff that you see around you will still all be Grace Church. But we will be getting Mosaic Church into our vocabulary, into our language. And just before the camp out, we're going to be using Grace Church less and less in how we talk. And then during September, we're going to be flying the town, telling them our Mosaic Church. So Mosaic Church, formerly known as Grace Church, is here. And come and see us. And then one Sunday, what will happen? Simon will be really organized, and he will get rid of all the other branding. And then magically, everything will become Mosaic Kids T-shirts, Mosaic Welcome T-shirts, and it'll all be magic. And you go, wow, that's incredible. But we will still remember the name. Grace Church. We are still to be a church full of grace. And so I've mentioned this already, but I won't keep harping on about that. It just means that the way that we share and we show the grace of God is through being a mosaic of pieces all together, stuck together through Christ. And we share it that way in a new and different way. So just as we have shown and shared the story of Grace Church, of Christ through Grace Church, we will soon be a mosaic showing and sharing the person of Christ to this town. And so we can now say that we are taking new steps towards becoming Mosaic Church with the same stones, with the same mission, but also the same story. The same story. Look with me at verse 9. Joshua set up 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. I know I've already mentioned that these stones, they were reminding Israel that God was faithful, but they were also a reminder of an event. They were reminding them of an event which showed that God was faithful. The stones told a story. These stones were telling a story about what happened with Joshua and co. as they crossed the River Jordan. They were a physical reminder of a spiritual work that God had done. The personal and honest stories you are going to hear in a minute or so from four people being baptized, they're going to be telling the same story that the stones in Joshua 4 were telling. The stones in Joshua 4, they were telling the story that God's people crossed through water into new life. They crossed through water into new life, into a new land, but it wasn't their doing. It wasn't their strength. It wasn't their ability to stop the water. It was all God's work. We see in Joshua 3 and 4 that God did it. It was God, and he was in a box doing it. Like, it was easy for him. All right? We didn't read it, but in Joshua 15, it says that the feet of the priests carrying the ark, they touched the water and the river stopped flowing. It was not the people who did it. The people sharing their stories, it's not what they did, it's what God did. God's done it. The stones set up, they are a physical reminder of how God has brought his people through water into new life. And that's what this morning is going to be all about. That's what we've been singing about. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. It's a story. It's our story. It's the Christian story. That's what our mission is. That's what our stones are all about. And this is what this church is all about. These four people getting baptized, their story are a modern day version of an ancient event that's happened. They've discovered that they need help. All these four people, they've discovered that they need help, not just with life's problems, but with the bigger stuff, with guilt, with fear, with purpose, dealing with death. And the Christian message, the gospel, is that God has made a way. God has made a way for you. You may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You've not heard the Christian story before. And it is this: God has made a way for you. He died on a cross and he rose again. We celebrate it every year at Easter as a country. But the story behind it is that he has forgiven your sin. He has set you free. He has given you a new kind of life, and a life that is centered not around ourselves, not around me and my happiness, but around serving and worshiping and glorifying God. So you might be here this morning and you're like, so baptism, that's a little bit weird. Like, what are you doing? It's a little bit strange. Like, people, they climb into a swimming pool out there. They get chucked down by these people, pulled back up. They get dunked into some water, and they come out soaking wet. And all the people go, "Woo, yay!" And like that's pretty weird to be looking at. Yeah, it is a bit weird, but there's a reason. Right? There is a reason. It's a way of these people signifying that I've found new life in Jesus. I have been washed clean and my old life is gone and I'm stepping into something new. I'm stepping into a new space, into a new relationship with God. It doesn't make them a Christian. Right? That decision's happened a while ago. They dealt with their hearts in that moment, but it's a moment they can look back on. It's a stone. It's a pile of stones that they can look back on and go, "Oh yeah, I remember my story. I remember what's happened." These people being baptized, they're taking new steps today, but their story will always be Jesus. It'll always be Christ died for me and I put my trust. I remember the moment. I remember the pile of stones that I can look back on and go, no, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. I'm secure. So what about you? Just like Joshua and the Israelites, are there new steps for you today? Maybe you need to take some new steps with the same stones. Maybe you're a Christian in this room and you've just forgotten the stones that you're building on and that you're building with. You've moved away from God. You've pulled away from him. You said, I don't need you. And you need to come to him and you need to remember his faithful love this morning. Maybe that's you. We're going to sing in a moment. Let that be your worship. But maybe somebody here, and you may need to take new steps, but for you, it may be a new story. Maybe you've come this morning, and you're not a Christian. You're not yet a Christian, and you've not even questioned Christianity, or you may have questioned Christianity. Maybe today, this is a moment that you take a new step into an ancient story, just like the people getting baptized are. Maybe for the first time in a fresh way, you commit to following Jesus anew, one who's made a way for you, not through water, not through creating a nice dry path for you to walk through water, but one who takes you through death, the torrent of water, and he sets you free, and he allows you to know the presence of God all the days of your life. That's the privilege that these people are taking this morning. So if that's you, chat to whoever brought you. Chat to those people, and I'm going to pray a prayer now. Why don't we stand up, Anne, and come up. But as I pray, if you pray the prayer I am about to pray, come and talk to me. Come and talk to me about your next steps. What is the next step for you to be making this morning? And so I'm going to pray, and then the band will lead us in worship. God, Lord, we are sorry for where we go wrong. We're sorry for where we think we can get through life without you. We're sorry for where we might not have even heard of or known your faithfulness. And yet, Lord, you are so faithful. You're faithful enough to go to the cross for us, to die for us, to take our sin and our shame that we deserve. You take it upon yourself to save us. What a privilege, what a joy. Lord, we love you for it. We want to praise you, oh God. We want to give you glory. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. Will you take my sin, my shame, and will you just take it upon your cross and lead me to you, I pray. Amen.